Have your Bibles with you. I'm going to ask you to please open up, if you would, to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Psalm 37 is just a great, great psalm. It's a real encouragement, and it's a real blessing. We're only going to be looking at one verse, or breaking apart one verse tonight, and that's going to be the 27th verse. Because we're going to be looking at the three D's of Christian living. And so we're going to kind of break this apart a little bit. But I want you to notice that some of the things that are contained in this particular psalm. First of all, it begins with, "Do not fret because of evildoers." In other words, don't be overcome by the enemies of the church, about the enemies of God. Don't be overcome. Don't fret over those individuals. God will, in His time, take care of all those things. So do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious towards wrongdoers. Why do they prosper? I often hear people talking about the rich, and they always seem to think that there's a disdain in people being wealthy. And they try to kind of run them down, and that's just kind of wrong. If their riches have been gained wrongly, God will take care of that. He will take care of that. If their riches are not used properly, God will take care of that. But that's in His hands. And so we're not to fret about that. And then when you drop down, you'll notice that in the 12th verse it says, "Look, the wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him." Now look at this. "The Lord laughs at him, for he sees his day coming." I love that. I love that. It doesn't matter that the wicked plots against the righteous, because God sees the ultimate end. And He's going to hold them accountable and responsible. And so we don't have to worry about taking God's role. He'll take care of that. And then we see in the 7th verse, He says, "Look, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him." Rest in Him. Don't be overcome. Don't fret. It's going to be okay. Rest in the Lord. He is the one who gives to His people rest and comfort. He says to delight in the Lord, to commit our way to the Lord, to trust in the Lord. All of these things. And God is in control of all that stuff. And then we come down to this 27th verse, and the writer, David, says this. He says, "Depart from evil and do good, so you will dwell forever." Depart, do, and dwell. Now, and that's what we want to look at tonight. If we are to live Christian lives that are honoring to God and are a blessing to Him, we have to pay attention to these three D's. Notice the very first one, the departing, if you will. Depart from evil. You know, there's a lot of people that profess to be Christians, but they still think the same thoughts, they still say the same words, they still act in the same ways, they still do the same things, they still go to the same places. You don't see a change in their lifestyle when they come to know Christ. They haven't really departed from doing those things that they know are wrong. They just kind of continue in those things. But when we genuinely repent of our sins and we totally commit our lives to Christ, we are changed. And when that change takes place, and that's why I kind of love these testimonies tonight, when that change takes place, we become brand new creatures. That means that we don't think the way that we used to think. We don't act the way that we used to act. We don't allow ourselves to be dragged in the pattern of the world, but instead we follow the path of Christ. We depart from evil and we walk in righteousness. I think I've shared it in my testimony here that when I got saved, I was drunk. And I was a drunk. But in that moment I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, He sobered me. And in that sobering, He delivered me from the power of alcohol. There were some struggles that I had, however, in the development of my life. In the development of my Christian life, there were some things that had to go. And the Lord directed me on those things. And He told me, look, you've got to depart from these things that are going to bring shame to my name or are going to bring pain to other individuals. And He helped in that moment, in that time, as He helped me to develop into a believer in Christ, He let me realize that I have a tremendous responsibility as a witness for Him. And as a witness for Him, there were places I could no longer go. There were things I could no longer do. There were literally people that I could no longer associate with on a close relationship basis, because either they would drag me down, and if they did that, that would harm my witness for Christ, or they would just repel me. I don't know if you've ever been repelled by people, but when you get, religion, when you get too close to Jesus, the people who aren't close to Jesus want to push you away, man. They want to get rid of you out of their lives as quickly as they possibly can. And you develop a brand new set of relationships. You develop a family in Christ. And that becomes very, very important. And it kind of comes in this command that David is giving, if you will, in that 27th verse, when he says, depart from evil. Stay away from that which is going to harm you or make you a bad influence. Some people really don't get that. They really don't. And it's difficult to make people understand that one day we're going to stand before Christ and our witness for Him and our influence is going to be a part of our judgment. It really is. And we have no idea who's watching us all the time. But people are watching. And some of those people that are watching are like this big. And they are going to model their lives after us. I remember a basketball player years ago, and he's a funny guy, and I like him as an announcer and that kind of thing. His name's Charles Barkley. And he was a great basketball player, especially when you consider his shape. The round mound of rebound is what he referred to himself as, because he was a hefty guy, and yet he was very aggressive on the basketball court. And he would lose his temper on occasion. And there was an announcer or an interviewer who was talking with him, and he said, "You know, you're an example for children. Doesn't that bother you?" He said, "I'm no role model. I'm no role model." Well, you know what? Charles is wrong. We are all role models, whether we choose to be or not. We are role models. And if we are to have the kind of an impact for Christ that we need to have, then we need to watch everything that we do. We need to watch the places we frequent. We need to watch the language that comes out of our mouths. We need to watch the types of stories that we tell. It always concerns me when you get a group of men together, Christian men, who think that it's okay to tell off-color jokes. It's not okay. It's not okay. It's offensive. And it offends Christ. We need to depart from evil if we are to have a good, godly example. The second thing that David talks about here in this 27th verse, he says this: depart from evil and do good. Here's the opposite. Depart from evil, replace it with good. Do that which you know is right. What are the types of things that we should do that we know is good? I'll tell you one thing. How about giving all of our heart and all of our passions to the Lord? That's a good thing. But I'm amazed, even in the church, the number of people that say, "Well, I don't want to get too religious." Why not? What is too religious? Jerry, what's too religious? Randy, what's too religious? What is a fanatic? A what?
An ultimate fan.
An ultimate fan. An ultimate fan. That's a good illustration. I one time heard a preacher say, "I'll tell you what a fanatic is. It's somebody who loves Jesus a little more than you do." Someone who loves Jesus a little more than you do. They're the fanatic. But you know what? What's wrong with loving Jesus with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength or our energy? What's wrong with that? Well, in reality, isn't that the greatest commandment? Yes, it is. It's the greatest commandment. Remember when the Pharisees came up to Jesus and they said, "Hey, what's the biggie? What's the number one? What is it that we've really got to do?" And Jesus said, "Oh, you know this. It's love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength." He says, "And the second is equal to it, and that is to love your neighbor as yourself." Love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Do good. When we do good, God blesses not just us, but He blesses others as well. When we do good, we become role models that honor God. And as we become role models that honor God, we make a difference in this world. And people come to faith when we're genuinely doing the right things. The third thing is this, and it's the dwelling. Look at this. Depart from evil and do good, so you will dwell forever, or you will remain forever, or you will abide forever. In other words, you will dwell in the kingdom of God forever. But that dwelling in the kingdom of God, you see, is dependent upon the first two. Departing from evil. Doing what is good. Because there's in this verse, you will notice there's a little connector that's in there. In the New American Standard, the word is so. The word is so. Various other translations, it's in order that. In order that you may abide forever. You may dwell forever. You will have eternal presence of God. You will have eternal life. And so, as David is looking at this, he is talking about this three-step pattern of living an effective Christian life. Depart from evil. When you get out of sin, get out of sin. Do good. When you get out of sin, then you do the right things. You honor God. You do that which you know is a blessing to God and to others. And then dwell. Remain there. Abide in the presence of God. Don't be off wandering all over the place. Follow Him in everything that you do, and you'll dwell forevermore in the kingdom of Christ. I want you to notice verse 28 and 29. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake His godly ones. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. What is the land? By the way, it's not Israel. By the way, it's not the United States. It is the kingdom of heaven. That is what we will inherit forever. You know what? We got to do it His way. Not our way. We've got to do it His way. That means we have to be honorable in all of our lives and in every area of our lives so that God can bless us. Would you please stand? We're going to have a closing word of prayer. I want to thank you again for being here tonight. It's been awesome to be in God's house together with you. Love hearing these testimonies of how God changed people's lives and circumstances and situations. God is incredible, and He loves us deeply, and we need to love Him in return and follow Him with everything that we have. So let's have a closing word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, again, we thank You for Your great love for us, for Your great passion for us, for Your great compassion on us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to depart from evil in all things, to do that which is right and good, so that, Lord, we can be blessed by dwelling forever with you. Father, our faith in you is what initiates the spark of change. And that only comes because it's a gift from you. And so, Lord, please help us to exercise the gift. And we'll give you the praise. For it's in your awesome and holy name we pray. Amen.